It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every heart, every woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every heart, every woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I'm your host for Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we get into our interview for today, we're going to start with a little bit of live music. This is a friend of mine, David Lucky. He's a fellow worship leader. This is his song, Be Exalted. Sit back and enjoy.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, for His name is great. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Be exalted.
Hey everyone, this is Carla Nivens, host of the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I've got my good friend Vicki McMurray with me co-hosting today. Hey Vicki.
Hi Carla.
We kind of have like a different setup
today. You're far away.
Yes, we're far away, but we're looking at each other in the... Okay, we're holding hands,
now
y'all.
We have to hold hands.
We also have Queen Smith co-hosting today.
Thank you. So glad you're here.
Yes, thanks, Queen, for being a friend of the show.
And thank you.
This is your maybe second time co-hosting?
Yeah, second time co-hosting.
Second time. Yes. I can do hard things. I'm here.
Oh, goodness. You got this. Plus, you've been a guest on the show.
You've been a guest on the show. So, everyone, if you missed Queen's episode, go back on iTunes, subscribe with us on iTunes, Every Heart, Every Woman Radio, and catch up with Queen's episode, because we had a wonderful time.
It was fabulous. Yay.
Well, everyone, our program is a program of Love Ministries. Love Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find out all the great information about Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And so, you all, let's get into our interview that we have today. We have Lisa McPhail joining us today. She is the founder of BIGG, Big Enterprises. Yes, is that right,
that
Lisa?
That is correct.
Lisa is also a speaker, an MC, a minister, a workshop trainer, and we are very excited. She's going through the 21-day detox right now.
And she's still pleasant to be around.
She's working it out. Thank you so much, Lisa, for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I mean, what else do you don't do?
I know.
You do so much. It's so impressive.
Much.
I'm looking forward to getting to know you today.
Listen, I was thinking, I was like, God, when you were passing out gifts, I mean, did I stand in the line a little longer than others?
I don't know.
I think I wanted to come back around and around.
Yes.
So, but I just, first of all, just want to say thank you for having me. What a pleasant opportunity to be here. And Queen is my friend. She's my sister. And so it's just so wonderful to be here. So what else? You said, what else do
Tell us about you. Tell us your testimony, your background.
Oh, Lord.
We want to know
good stuff.
Who is Lisa?
Who is Lisa? Lisa, L-I-S-A. I have a sister-in-law. Her name is Lisa, too, but she's L-E-I-S-A.
Okay.
So I was like, no, I'm the OG.
The original.
Yes, yes, the original. But Lisa, I am a beautiful wife.
Yes.
Waited 15 years for that.
All right. What are you doing?
For that, what?
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Waited real good 15 years.
Okay.
But this ring shows that he
beautiful
did really
ring.
Good.
He did.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Yes. That is gorgeous. Yes.
So, beautiful husband. I am a loving mother of a fur baby.
Okay.
He's my little fur baby.
Yeah.
And just a loving sister. I'm an aunt. Of course, cousin, niece, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But most of all, I am just fun-loving. I just love life. Have had some experiences and challenges, like I'm sure that we all do in life.
Sure.
But you've heard the saying before, when life offers you lemons, you simply make lemonade.
That's right. Man.
And make it extra sweet.
There you go.
Wait, you're detoxing.
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks right now. I want sugar.
I hear that.
But I grew up, it was just my brother and I.
Okay.
And with my father, he was a single parent. And so he did the best he could with what he had.
Absolutely.
I always said that my father was my hero because he was a single parent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like in today's society, we hear a lot about single parenting and it's only the mothers raising the children. But sometimes we forget about that there are actually single dads out there making it happen and they're having to be mother and father.
Yes.
And he was so gracious. And I never forget growing up, I had really long, thick hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so my father used to lay me up on the countertop in the kitchen, and I would have to lean my head back in the sink
for him to shampoo my hair.
I
feel his pain.
I was like,
goodness.
Daddy, I don't think water and shampoo is supposed to be in there.
Yeah.
In my eyes. Shut up, girl, and let me do what I'm doing.
So, I could just
imagine.
He tried. But, you know, with growing up like that, I was the only plus size person in my family.
Okay.
And so meaning I was the only person who had a weight issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, why am I the biggest one in this family? Mm-hmm. What's the matter? And so always my meals were always proportioned. You can't eat that. You can't do that. And then you would go to school and you teased about weight. So I thought something was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lived just that life of just with low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that everyone was better than me. I was always told I was the girl who had the pretty face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have such a pretty face.
You do, though. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're beautiful.
God is good. I am a Lord. Well, I'm 48 years old, y'all.
Wow. I would never.
Yeah, no, you cannot tell.
I was thinking mid-30s.
Yes.
Won't God do it? Oh, he'll keep you if you want to be kept now.
I mean, you're the same age as my husband. I'm 53, but you don't look, you look like
nothing like 30s.
Girl.
What's soap and water?
I know.
I'm just saying, just that good old ivory.
The soap and ivory.
That little ivory.
And you know what? I bet because I would even say your longer hair from when I was telling you earlier, your Facebook.
Yes.
Or your website.
Yes.
Your hair's longer. It makes you look older. This makes you look younger with your shorter hair. Seriously.
I love it.
Because it really is really cute.
It is really cute.
Yes.
I mean,
we're going to put a picture on our social media.
She looks so really put cute. Together, you guys, and just beautiful.
Well,
and I already, you know Queen's gorgeous. I told her that when I met her. And
I'm
obviously Carla,
you.
But. You
Thank
look
you.
Really nice today.
Thank you so much.
But
I appreciate that.
I would never have guessed that.
Yeah. Yes, and so I live with years of low self-esteem.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so even into my teenage years, went through, lived a life of promiscuity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The first boy who told me I was pretty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's who I gave myself to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have that dreamy, you know, when you first lost your, mm-hmm. you
right.
know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so lived that life and then... I was attracted to street life.
Okay.
You know, my father did marry
mm-hmm.
and had a beautiful home, went to a great school. But it was something about when I watched movies. And there was a movie I'll never forget years ago called Colors.
Okay.
And it was about gangs and drugs and police brutality and all of that. But it was something about that gang life that intrigued me. And I was like... I want to be a gangster.
Seriously.
Goodness.
How about that?
I'm just sitting here with my mouth open because after just meeting you briefly, thinking
you're
there's
the
no
opposite.
Way.
The total
there's no
opposite.
Way this is all going down.
Yeah, I was like, I want to be a gangster. Oh. And I was like,
How old do you think you were about this time?
I was probably 14.
Mm-hmm. So there's that whole fantasy of that kind of looks intriguing and that's bad. And, you know, but I wouldn't really get in that much trouble because the movies are bad, but they don't make it quite as bad as what reality really is.
Oh, let me tell you. Yeah, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I share with parents, I don't have children yet.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in God. He can do all things.
He can.
Amen.
I always tell parents or share with them, be careful what your children are listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was always left alone a lot of the times. So I'm in my room listening to rap music.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Ice Cube and the Ice Teas. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to the, that's why I want to do a drive-by. Yeah, I want to chop up some drugs. And
mm-hmm.
So even though I was living with my father, I still had contact with my birth mother. And she lived in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was afforded the opportunity. I just said, I want to live with my mother in my teenage years. Live with my mother, went to Vallejo, California.
Mm-hmm.
Lived in a housing community called the Country Club Crest. And so they would call it Crestside.
Okay.
And so there I was introduced. Everything was around me.
Wow.
And so then I lived that life of becoming a drug dealer, becoming a gangbanger.
Really?
Thank God for his mercy. I was never arrested.
Amen.
Never took anyone's life, never anything. But that life is just, it's a hardcore life of a wannabe.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's basically, it's a community of people who have been outcasted, low self-esteem, issues. And so we all gather around each other and we make each other feel like family.
Hmm.
And so after living that life and witnessing so many things, because once you're in the lifestyle, it's nothing like the movies.
Mm-hmm. No, it isn't. It's a false sense of security. I want to go back to what you just said about family, because family doesn't allow, family to do drugs.
Yes.
Family doesn't allow family to sleep around, you know, or or talk about who you're going to take out, stuff like, I mean, I don't know what the actual language was.
Yes, right.
I definitely didn't live that life. But I just, it's so fascinating because I think when we're younger, especially you said you're around 14, you went to go live with your mom. Mm-hmm. I remember feeling so insecure myself growing up and thinking I grappled at anything to make me feel better.
Right. Yes.
And I mean, that just breaks my heart. So where's your mom in this? Does she know what's going on?
My mother, she knew what was going on, but she had her own struggles, you know, that she was dealing with. And years later, after, you know, giving my life to the Lord and being saved and asking him to heal me from those childhood issues and traumas and different things, the Lord had given me a revelation how to forgive my parents.
Right.
And the Lord let me know, he said that parents don't come with degrees in parentology.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, absolutely not. Right.
They do the best they can
absolutely.
With what they had.
Right.
And the way that they grew up, they had a mindset that when I grow up and become an adult and have children, I'm not going to do that with my
right.
life.
Right. Right.
And so, yeah, you know, it took a lot. But yeah. But after going through those years, I'll never forget. I remember I was with a known drug dealer at the time in Vallejo, and I was so tired of the lifestyle because you get tired.
I can't imagine.
You know, after a while, so many drive-bys, so many drugs, so many, you know, we used to have drug dealers would have people called boosters, meaning that we would have people go out and steal for us merchandise, clothing. You know, so that you can look the part.
Right, yeah. right.
You know, I mean, just the crazy lifestyle. I'm like, God, I thank you for being such a keeper.
Yes.
But I was tired. And I knew I was no one but God. And I was living in this apartment complex. And one of my next door neighbors said, hey, if you ever need me, I'm here.
I've been
praying for you. And I was like, who are you?
Yeah. yeah.
But I love how God will send his angels on assignment.
That is such a blessing.
To divinely lead you to where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I think I stayed in it maybe about a week or so more. And what woke me up one night, I was asleep and I heard clicking. And I woke up and my boyfriend at the time was laying on top of me, sitting, you know, straddled on top of me, and he had a gun to my head.
Oh my goodness.
Playing Russian roulette, and I woke up. I was like, what are you doing? And he said, you better be glad you woke up before I found the bullet. And so when he opened the chamber, the bullet was the next round that he was going to take on me. And I thought, you know what? I'm like so good with this life.
I'm like, can I thank God for his covering?
No kidding.
Because the Lord knows how, first of all, the Lord knows what to send
Jesus.
In our direction to make us wake up and do something else differently. But he also knows how to perfectly cover us while we are in what we are doing.
Jesus.
You know,
man. Yes, because when God has a calling on your life, you know, I think about in Jeremiah, in the first chapter, when God said that before you were born, I knew you.
Yes.
Even as you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Yeah.
And so there he knows that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives.
Yeah.
And then Jeremiah 29:11 goes on to say, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you.
Yes.
Thoughts of good, not of evil,
yes.
to give you an expected end.
Yes.
So Lisa, I can't let you die here because you have an expected end.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
There's a purpose in your life.
Yeah.
And that was the moment after that I got up. And after he left, I went and knocked on a neighbor's door. And he said, and it was a gentleman. He said, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in and he said, you sit right there and I'm going to call my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Called this lady. She didn't know me from Adam. I didn't know her.
Mm-hmm.
She says, bring her by. She can stay with us.
Wow. Praise
so
God.
From
Seriously.
There, excuse me, that's how I just went on. I gave my life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget when I was in the world, I had a street name. It was Cisco.
Okay. I was like, what does that mean?
I know.
Like,
girl. Because you were from Texas?
No, I'm originally from California.
But I know, but you had moved from Texas, I assume? Or no?
No, I was still in California before I even moved to Texas.
Oh, okay.
So I'm originally in California.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I just remember my father playing this song years ago. It was called Cisco. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine.
Yes.
Okay.
Cisco Kid was a friend of mine.
Yeah,
I don't even know who Cisco is. So anyway, but when you're lost in that world, you don't even know your identity.
No, not at all.
And then they had an alcoholic beverage back in the day called Cisco.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know that.
So that's what I used to drink. So I was like, yeah, I'm Cisco. Yeah, girl, get it together. So I never forget that I left Vallejo, California and moved to a city called Fairfield, California.
Okay.
So about 20 minutes outside of Vallejo.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I'll never forget, I was in a grocery store and someone said, Cisco. And I was like, oh my God.
No. Oh, after you had moved.
After I had moved. Okay. I am saved.
Yes.
Sanctified, Holy Ghost filled.
Cisco is no more.
Old things have washed away.
Yes.
I am now
all things
new.
Are new.
Right.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking, no, I am Lisa.
Yes.
And so they were like, no, but you're Cisco, man. Where you been? I was like, no, I'm Lisa.
Yeah.
I'm saved. And so I just remember rolling with that crowd years ago. There was like a big rap group back in the day called The Click. A guy named E-40, Be Legit, all of them.
Yes.
So we were all there. I was there in that era. Uh-huh. And I never forget, I had saw E-40 years later in a Red Lobster. And he was like, hey, Cisco. And I was like, no. He was like, oh, I forgot you, the Jesus lady. Get me out of California.
That's right.
Please. So, but no. And then I married at 22. Now still battling and suffering with low self-esteem.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Because in my mind,
back of my head.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. I'm still big.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
And so then I get married and I'm in the church and I have a church marriage, meaning that the pastor and the church mother said, this is your husband.
Oh, wow.
God said, you're his wife. Get married. And
okay.
I was like, I didn't know God like really like that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And so I said, I do. And I was looking at him like, I don't.
Oh, my goodness.
And stayed married. I had a ministry marriage for 7 years.
Okay.
Wow.
What is a ministry marriage?
That's what I was going to say. What does ministry marriage entail?
What does that mean?
What is a ministry marriage? Meaning you get married for the people and the ministry.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because they said. And then now I'm now living another life of this false, I guess, lifestyle that I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm a wife now.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm a choir director, worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm teaching Bible band in Church of God in Christ, you know, because God is doing things. But that's your husband, you're his wife, look the part.
Okay.
So it was almost
like a business transaction.
That's
it. I mean,
absolutely.
It wasn't, it's not a love, and you still haven't worked on you than getting yourself out of a dangerous situation and a lifestyle that you didn't want to lead. Mm-hmm. There's still something missing.
It's still something missing, and I'm glad that you brought that part out about coming out of the lifestyle because I also saw it as a sense of security.
Oh, sure. Yes, I can relate to that. Yes.
Ooh, okay, now I have this husband.
Yes.
And my thoughts of marriage are my false expectations of marriage. Now I'm married. We're going to have a white house with a white picket fence, two perfect children, a little dog. And life is going to be great.
And he's going to make me feel good.
Yes.
Mm.
Lies.
Yes, big lies with the big L.
Yes, with the big L. Yes.
So no relationship with, no real and true relationship with your husband. And then your relationship with God.
Yes. Because I'm loving God. Because I'm learning him. And then I'm learning that I love to study. So I'm loving the word.
Okay.
Now I have these opportunities because, you know, I was once lost.
Yes.
Now I'm found.
Right.
I get to live this new life now in Christ. But it is still something missing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember fasting and praying and asking God, please let me love my husband. Please let me see him like you see him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it just wasn't a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned so much from it. And I'm grateful for those experiences because even I remained married for 7.5 years, and enough was just enough.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you keep living a life where you're only existing? Mm-hmm. And you're telling your leaders, I'm not happy. No, you got to stay happy. God is not for divorce. You got it. And I'm like, dude, I'm dying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Far from my purpose.
Far from my purpose.
Good point.
Let me say that let's take a break.
Yes.
Because I want to, man.
I know.
My brain is going. There's so much more we want to cover with you, Lisa. And thank you so much for being here and for being so open. So everybody, we're going to press pause, but we will be right back in just a minute.
To Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Well, welcome back to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I'm your host for Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My good friend Vicki McMurray is co-hosting today. Yes. As well, we have Queen Smith.
Queen's in the house.
And Queen is actually responsible for this interview.
Yes, she is.
So she has brought us a good one. We are talking with Lisa McPhail, and Lisa is the founder of BIGG, Big Enterprises. She's a speaker, MC, minister, workshop trainer, and she is real, y'all.
Yeah,
like, she is really helping us and really being open and honest about her life and her journey to what she calls the BIGG idea.
Yeah.
So Lisa, let's jump right on back in. So before we left for the break, it's been 7 years. You're in California, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in California, 7 years married to someone else, not the love that the Lord has prepared for you. And you kind of, you feel that tug in yourself, and you know that this is not the life that God has called you to lead.
That is correct.
So how do you get from there to the BIGG idea?
Well, what had happened was...
I'm ready. I'm on the edge of my seat.
I'm ready.
I want to hear the rest of the story.
So after the marriage dissolved, and it was like, you know, we both... Well, I know for me, I just couldn't take it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he left. He moved out of the house. But then it was like, now I'm only 28 now.
Okay.
Because I married when I was 21, getting ready to turn 22. So now here I'm 28.
Mm-hmm.
So now left the street life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm living the church life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm getting ready to live the divorce life.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm still 28. I'm still young at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he left, and I just felt this sense of, oh my God, I'm free. And I was like, I'm like for real free. Like, God, you've been good, but I just want to kind of taste life a little bit again.
Yeah.
But the one thing I remember God telling me when I gave my life to the Lord after leaving the gang life, the drug life, the Lord said that if you leave me to live this life again, you will die a violent death.
Hmm.
So that always remained with me. So then I thought, well, now it's 7.5 years later. I just want to live my life. Now, God, I'm going to be free, but I'm not going to go back to the street life.
Yeah.
So I met a young guy, 6 years younger than me. Backslid, and now I'm still going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Still smoking my marijuana, but I'm staying in the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's funny how we try to bargain with God.
God, I know what you said, but what I won't do is play with you. So I'm not going to be at church in leadership, living my kind of life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I backslid for about 1.5 years. Was with this gentleman, and now we're together. And then we leave California. And I moved to Kansas City where my family is.
Okay.
And so I thought if I left him behind and moved to Kansas City and changed demographics, now my life would be different. It's going to be better. I can get back on track. But the thing about moving and changing demographics, if you are still the same.
You're taking it all with you.
Yes. Listen, all that.
Yes.
You packed up all that and moved into another city with you.
He brought the baggage with you.
And so sure enough, had him come. You come live with me.
So now you brought him too.
Oh yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. I'm just bringing just not everything, but everything. Yeah, all the baggage. So now I'm in Kansas City, starting a new life, and then someone tells me about this church to go to, Lenexa Christian Center in Lenexa, Kansas.
Yes, why do I know that? I feel like
Pastor Mike Perkey. Okay, used to be on TBN years ago, and I've just always known him by the song he used to sing, Beulah Land. Mm-hmm. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. Okay, so you know that. So anyway, don't worry about it. So I learned it there. But anyway, so now I'm going to this church, and then now here I am again at a crossroads with God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't live this life and then still live my life.
Yes.
Right.
So just like the word of the Lord says, choose you this day who you will serve. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to make a choice.
Yeah.
And the choice was, I have to let it all go because now I'm divorced and I want to live right. Mm-hmm. So I went home, told the gentleman, hey, love you, but I love God more. And I have to ask you to go.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because now I've been with the man for 7 years. Now I've been with this man now for about a year or so. Now I have to let it go and be by myself. Mm-hmm. And it was those times was actually the best times of my life because then I discovered who Lisa was.
Right.
There you go.
Because now I'm living single now.
Yes.
I'm divorced. Now I get to know who God is and who Lisa is.
Yes.
And so that right there, it was, words can't even describe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That a lot of times we think what we're giving up and we're going to be lonely and, oh, my God, I need someone. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to help me pay my bills and all that. Pay your own bills.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Take responsibility. Yeah.
Be independent.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Why do I need to evaluate my worth and say that because I need a man and so he makes me worthy of being this woman? Mm-hmm. No, you're worthy because God says you're worthy.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
He gave his life for us.
Yeah.
And so I just lived that life and so went through years of trying to still find Lisa. And it wasn't until I went to cosmetology school.
Okay.
And God.
Wait, that's not a list in your all the things you can do.
We got to make this list longer.
I'm an ex-cosmetologist.
I love it. So you went to cosmetology school.
Yes, because I always loved hair. Mm-hmm. And I always was fascinated with hair and makeup and all that good stuff. So I was like, let me try this. And the one good thing that God taught me in that is that you're never too old.
Right.
To pursue a dream.
Right. Yes.
Even if you do it for a little bit, at least you did it.
Right. Yes.
Because the one thing we don't want to do is live our life and at the end of it say, I wish or I woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so went to cosmetology school and at the age of 36, I had an awakening.
Okay.
And I began to ask God to show me how he saw me. And when God revealed, I mean, his word has always been there, but you know how sometimes you find a scripture and you read it again, but now it's like,
it illuminates.
Sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Psalms 139 and 14.
Yes, yes.
I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
Wonderful are your works.
Yes.
And my soul knoweth right well.
Amen.
So now, God, you're teaching me to see me how you see me. Mm. And every time I see myself as big, I'm speaking down on your creation. Mm-hmm. Mm. And God says, who are you to speak against my creation?
Yes.
If I wanted you to be a size 8, you would have been a size 8.
Size 8. I'm God.
So you're big.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy has had you focused on your exterior bigness for all your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to introduce you to your interior bigness.
Wow, that's huge.
So that's the big idea.
I love it.
Yes.
You're about to make me shout.
But, there you go. I'm loving
it. That is beautiful.
That is beautiful.
That's the big idea. I suffered all of those years. I think about the woman in the Bible that had an issue of blood.
For 12 years?
Yes.
Something like that?
Mm-hmm. And she said, she heard Jesus was coming to town.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Listen, he don't have to look at me.
Right.
Yeah. He don't have to lay his hands on me. He don't have to prophesy to
me.
I'm
just going to touch him.
Listen,
that's right.
If I had to get down
in
the crowd and crawl, I just want to touch the hem.
Yes.
And I will be made whole.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Her faith and her belief made her whole.
Yes. Yep.
So with Jesus, now here I am, I'm being made whole.
Yeah.
I'm seeing myself and discovering myself in ways that I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so God showed me a treasure chest. with all these jewels. And you know how sometimes with the chest, you've ever seen a picture of a treasure chest with jewels, you can't close the top because it's so many gifts.
Yes, overflowing.
Wow.
That's how he created us.
Yeah.
Yes, amen. He did.
And he wants us to discover every beautiful and unique thing that he has placed inside of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because we serve a big God, why not be big?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then God gave me the spin, B-I-G-G.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
No longer look at yourself as big, you're plus size, but you are big in me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I created you to do is believable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It will always have impact, and it will guarantee growth.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the big idea.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
So your purpose in life is to help others discover that they too are big.
Yeah.
Because we all have stories.
Yes.
That are believable.
Yes, yes. Miss Queen.
I know, I was
Queen.
Just saying, you and Queen are
the ultimate storyteller.
Yes. 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 Oh, yes, yes, yes.
She could tell a story and you're like, oh my
Man.
God, I am there.
Yes.
I
felt like I was in California with you.
I know.
That's right.
That was a story.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know what? And I'm just thinking for everyone who's listening and for everyone who's saying, whatever my issue is, or whatever my struggle is with it, I'm trying to hide it. You know, I'm trying to cover it up. I'm trying to put makeup on it. I'm trying to, and you're like, use that as your platform, as your ministry.
Yeah.
See that the way God intended for you to use it and get out there and use it.
Wow.
Because the struggles that we go through in life, if we allow God to help us, become our strength.
Absolutely.
The pain that we all have in life and will endure in life, if we allow God to help us, he will turn it into our purpose.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
And the misery that we have gone through in life, if we trust God, he will allow it to be our ministry in life. So everything we go through, just like the Word of God says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good. He didn't say it would be good, but God has a way of making it good.
Yes, he does.
And that's what I love. And then Genesis 50:20, Joseph, who's one of my favorite, I don't know if it's Joseph or David, I got so many favorite people in the Bible.
Yeah.
But in that scripture where Joseph said, what you meant for my harm, God will turn it around for good. So I'm grateful. I don't regret anything that I've endured in my life, because I wouldn't be the Lisa that I am today.
Right.
I wouldn't be the founder of Big Enterprises.
Right.
I love to speak, as you can tell.
Yes, and you do a fabulous job.
Yes.
I always got in trouble as a child because all I did was talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And my father, he used to say, girl, if you don't be quiet. I was like, well, Daddy, I just got to talk.
That's right.
So I want to ask you this, though. Listening to your story, is that why you feel the need to champion other women at this time? Is it because lived, you know, a life where maybe there were areas that you didn't have, but now it's like you're making it a point to let people know, other women, that, you know, like, why is it important for you to champion other women?
I love that question.
Because we have so many of them listening.
So many women. The reason why, going through all the things that I went through in life, there was a moment in my life where I always said, I don't do women.
I said that too.
Oh, listen.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I have two brothers.
Yeah.
Well, and I was like, I don't know how to do it, you know?
Yeah. I don't do women. I can't. Why? Because they're messy, catty, you know, revengeful, jealous. I mean, just, I couldn't deal with that. And so in my early part of my life, when I got married, I was so used to people controlling me. That once God delivers you from being controlled, listen, you are free.
Yeah.
And for me to hang with a pack of women, it was like I had to do what they did, talk like they talk. And I couldn't handle the fact that, say, for instance, we're in a comp, like we're all hanging out together. And then Queen and Vicky and I, we separate. And then now we're talking about you. Can you believe she said that? Can you? And then we would talk about her like a dog. But then when she would come back in our circle, it was as though, hey, girl, hey.
It's rough. We are so mean to each other.
Yes.
And we so desperately want to be included and loved and accepted. And yet we are divisive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so after witnessing that, and I would just cringe. I hated that. And I didn't know how to handle it, that I began to join in.
Right.
let me go ahead, because I want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. Let me go ahead and do what they do. Mm-hmm. I can laugh with you and I can talk about you. But something would happen, because when that person would come back in the room, I still felt some type of way about them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a seed of discord was planted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this happens on every level in life.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Whether you're in the community outside mm-hmm. or in the mm-hmm. church house.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we have to be so careful, because we need to remember our experience with the serpent in the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that's
in
great.
In Genesis, you see what I'm saying? Yes. Because we are life givers. Women are life givers.
Yes. Yes.
And so if the enemy can do anything he can to destroy us given life, not only birthing natural children, mm-hmm. or even if you adopt children, or just you're a life giver, period, because we bring hope to other women.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We can sit in a room and say, you know what? I struggle with low self-esteem, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked in the mirror this morning, had to talk to myself. Mm-hmm. OMG, look at this stomach. Girl, get it together.
But we don't allow mm-hmm. ourselves to be vulnerable or authentic that way, because we know there's some serpent in the room that's about to take us down.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that we don't feel safe.
We don't feel safe because we're about appearances now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, our culture is just shoving
our culture,
it down our throat.
Yeah, with social media. Mm-hmm. I have to have this type of hair, my fingernails, my makeup. I have to wear these type of shoes. Mm-hmm. I need to carry
Not
a coach bag.
Now eyebrows are a thing. It has to be on point. I never thought
eyebrows.
There'd be a day.
Really?
Yeah,
I need to go pluck mine.
Eyebrows would be important.
Yeah, they say your eyebrows have to be on fleek.
It has to be on fleek.
Yeah, I'm like, girl.
See, I think I'm old enough I can pass by.
You know.
I might just be going around with some hairy eyebrows.
You know. And then you have to carry the newest and latest handbag. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, girl, let me get over here to Payless.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
It's silly. And yet, can any of us say we haven't sucked into some of that
Absolutely.
At some point? And I struggle with that, too. And I don't know if it's just because as you get older, you start to realize, too, how silly it all is. But
yes.
I do. I think this is such a great conversation about women in general, that we don't support each other unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
When all of us, I'm not going to have the same gifts you have, Lisa.
That's
I'm not
right.
going to have the, I wish I had the storytelling ability Queen had. I wish I had the singing, beautiful voice that Carla has. You know, there are things
Carla.
That we, I know, that we wish we all had, but why not just sit in going, God, you're so good. You made me perfect.
You made me how you
made
me
perfect.
Just like
But
who
we
I
get
am.
So yes. caught up.
And like
in.
You said, our treasure box
yes.
is
overflowing.
Overflowing.
Mm. Yeah.
So
right.
why are we
that.
Not getting to know who God called us to be.
Exactly.
Why are we always running from that period in our lives where we are alone with God? Why are we so afraid of that period?
Because it takes work.
Mm-hmm. It does. It takes a lot of work.
And a lot of times people don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a microwave society where we want everything quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we know that making oxtails in the microwave is not like putting oxtails in a crock pot.
Right. Right.
And letting
you
them
gotta
cook
have
overnight.
Pot.
Oh, my husband loves my cooking. God is good. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the thing, but you had to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to take time to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to take time to be developed.
To simmer.
To simmer. We want everything instant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes time getting with God and discovering who you are.
Yeah.
And God began to tell me that. He said, now I want you to start complimenting women.
There you go.
Time you get in a room and you feel like you want to compare yourself, because the Bible says comparing ourselves with each other is not wise.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So whenever you get in a room and you feel like you want to compare yourself, start finding something in women in the room and compliment them on.
There you go.
The thing that if you wish that you had a snatched waist, like they said, meaning your waist is tight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But your
that.
Waist and that spank is almost giving out on you.
There's nothing wrong with a good spank now.
No, there's nothing wrong with a good
Listen,
spank.
Listen, thank God for the spank ministry.
Yes. Yes. That's the Holy Spirit now.
He will
holding
keep
you in there.
Together. But when I look at another woman and I can say, Queen, I absolutely love the way you look. Your makeup, girl, you are beautiful.
Yes.
Your skin is just.
Yes.
The more we compliment, God had to teach me, the more you compliment another woman, the more jealousy is dying. It's killing it
there
in
you
yourself.
Go.
Yes. There
you go.
It.
Yeah.
And so I believe that the reason why I had to become a champion of women is that life already tears us down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
First and foremost, before we even get to life, we tear ourselves
right.
down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then life, then things that happen in life. So why not, if we're givers of life, why not give life to each other?
Exactly.
Right, right. Oh, so good. Let me ask you this. So if there are any moms, you don't even have to be a mom, but I'm thinking from the standpoint of a mom. If there are any moms out there and we have daughters, could be sons, but we are trying to grow them in the area of their self-esteem, what advice can you give? Like what should we say to our children? What should we model to them? What kind of things should we make sure that they take in? Even in media, we talk about media a lot and how we like to limit it because it's not the best thing to raise our children.
So
what would you say to that? What is the message that we should be giving to our children?
The message that we should be giving to our children, and I believe that the question, too, you asked about parents, first and foremost, finding your identity in the one who created you. Because if you don't discover your identity in from the creator, then you don't know who you are. Don't allow society, social media, and what other people say define you. Because they're not your plan. They're not the plan for your life. God is the one who defines you. And I would say, find a book, a Christian book. Open up the Bible. If you don't understand it, get you a version. They have the MSG, the NLT, the NIV.
The Voice. I love the Voice.
I like the Voice also.
Whatever it is, that's where you find your affirmations.
There you go.
What does God say about me? Because what he says about me, I believe it, and that settles it. And so once you believe it, then start speaking into your children. What if your mother didn't speak it to you or your father? Learn to speak it and start speaking into your children. You are beautiful. You are lovely. You are victorious. But mama, they laugh at my clothes. Baby, they probably laughing because they wish they had what you had.
Right.
But you have to learn to affirm them. And so put in them what you didn't get. Not anything that doesn't have any foundation or substance to it. Because a lot of times we're like, I want them to be a ballerina. I want them to be this or that, this and that. While you're running them to different programs and sporting events and all of that, speak life to your children. Talk to them. Don't just let them sit with their cell phone in their hand. How was school today, baby? Oh, it was good, Mom. Girl, if you don't put that phone down. Because, see, that's how my mother used to talk to me. Because what we're going to do is talk. And start having, we don't even have dinner time anymore with families. We're so on the go.
Or a dinner time where, I mean, I had dinner with my oldest daughter last night. And so she kept putting the phone. We were at a restaurant. And I go, that phone, give it to mama. I don't care if you're almost 19. Hand it over. So she did.
It's so important.
She did. So it was good. I mean, she gets it. But you're right. You just have to stay on them.
And you know, I think I had dinner with my daughter last night, and there are I started asking her questions. There are so many things our kids are picking up at school that make no sense, you know? And so, and when we don't sit down and have that time, like you said, we can't even get those things straight. They're growing up on those, you know, misinformation that they're receiving. They're having lunch. If you don't have the dinner time, they're having lunchtime at school.
They're getting an
education. They're learning some stuff now.
And there's so many times that we miss out on moments with each other. And because of our cell phone age and everything, we're missing. Be present in the moment. Make time. That's that time when I talked about in the beginning, how we don't want to put the time in. Be intentional about, I'm going to put this phone down for an hour. And we're just going to talk and enjoy each other. We'll catch a selfie later.
There we go. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. I mean,
so
this has just been a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. And Lisa, your social media.
Social media. I'm on Instagram, Lisa.McPhail. I'm on Twitter, Lisa McPhail underscore. And Facebook, Lisa McPhail. Also LinkedIn, Lisa McPhail.
And your website?
www.lisamcphail.com.
Let's tell everybody how you spell your last name.
MCPHAIL.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Queen, for joining us.
Thank you. This was the best coffee
I know, best time to call. Right.
Girl talk.
Right.
Build you up. Just keep on talking.
Build you up. And thank you so much, Vicky.
Thanks, Carla. This was so much fun.
Thanks, Carla. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, everyone, check out Love Ministries at loveministriesbuilds.org. Keep in contact with me on our social media at EHEW Radio or on our website. And we will see you back here next week.